Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Tonight is our final segment for what we call the Black Women's Power Forum and pre-convention strategy sessions. We've been doing them all week long, covering a variety of topics: health, education, economic, finance, and wealth building, relationships, all kinds of things. And we've had a lot of good dialogue and certainly came up with a lot of good information that we're going to, of course, incorporate into some of the next steps as we continue to build the Million Women Movement and certainly prepare to release our long-awaited new direct action plan. Before we begin tonight's program, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And, of course, we are always very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. As we go into this last week, we are getting ready, of course, for the 16th year anniversary observance of the historic Million Woman March. It doesn't seem like 16 years, but it is indeed 16 years coming up. And while I did not anticipate it taking as long as it did to get to where we're now at, I'm certainly thankful that we finally are, and I can tell you it's been a really interesting journey, but, you know, that's how things are, so what can we say? Tonight we're going to do an open mic. For those of you who received the e-blast, then you know one of the topics that we're going to focus on tonight is the topic that we have focused on many occasions, and that is the issue, the concern regarding the violence and abuse of our women and girls. You will hear us talk about that ongoingly as pertains to New Day Resurrection Liberation and also as pertains to, of course, the Million Woman Movement, because that is one of the key issues that we are committed to focusing on, addressing, and really combating. Now we have, with our direct action plan, we have a national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. And I can tell you, family, it's really, really an incredible concept and some incredible work, because it really kind of changes some of what is presently being done or being applied. Because realistically, the increase of violence and abuse of our women and girls is nationwide, certainly worldwide, but you hear a lot about it as it pertains to on the international level, such as the Congo, DFAR, but right here in the U.S., when it comes to our women and girls, you don't really hear a lot specifically about that issue. You'll hear about violence, you'll hear about abuse, but specifically, as it pertains to the violations of our women and girls, that you do not hear a whole lot about, especially in a way where there are any real plans of action, where there's some real dialogue and real intention to work to do something about it. Well, that has now changed, and we are in the process of making certain that ample work, ample awareness is within the next 3 to 5 years. We are beginning to get in data, research information, statistics on a national level so that we can really begin to look closer at what is happening, what has happened, what is happening, so that we know that we are making some headway in the future. We certainly know that we will be doing that. At any rate, that's one of the topics we're going to talk about tonight. And again, we're going to do an open mic because we really would like for you all to give us your feedback, specifically in this area of violence and abuse about women and girls. There are so many different opinions and different views about it. For example, again, for those of you who got the latest e-blast that we sent out, then of course you are aware that there's a six-year-old child, little sister. This happened in July. We're just getting the report just a few days ago, but this actually happened in July, and it happened in Louisiana, and a young sister, 6 years old, was raped and murdered. What makes this story, what makes this situation, rather, you know, really appalling and worse than what it probably would normally be, is that the person who did this to her was not only her cousin, but a person who is saying that this six-year-old seduced him. Now, family, we know that there's a lot of sick stuff out there, but for someone to literally say, for someone to literally confess and then give a reason that why they did what they did was because a six-year-old seduced him. Now, here's where it gets sticky. One, many people would say, you know, well, this is an ill person and he needs help. He needs, you know, psychiatric medical help. Others would say he needs his head chopped off, you know. So what do you all think? I mean, certainly this is a very sad situation. Certainly it's not one that is new, as you have heard our show on our program on other occasions. We have talked about this, and this is happening really, really more often than most would want to believe. But we're going to make sure that, you know, people get a real sense of what's going on, because this is really happening, again, nationwide. I'm going to open up the chat room in about 10 minutes, and again, we are going to open up the lines for you to be able to give us your views, opinions, and so forth about the situation that I'm telling you about, which happened, I think, on July 14th. But we want to also hear, what do you think should be done? What can be done to help prevent these types of things? But also, what should be done to this 20-year-old man who has raped and murdered this 6-year-old, who went to a party right afterwards? And now, again, this lends to have one to think that this is a very ill person. But wait a minute, his brother, the perpetrator, the violator's brother, knew about this. Now, he was, I think, 21 years of age. He, too, is now arrested or has been arrested for not reporting what, you know, happened. But, again, this is something really strange about this particular situation. It seems that he, too, was also arrested some time ago, you know, for molesting or touching a 10-year-old. So is this really one person just kind of lost it, or is this something really going on in our community that is, you know, at an increase, as we're saying? The bottom line, we want to move forward, and again, we're going to open up the lines for you very shortly, but let me see something here. I think there was an error put on tonight's schedule. I think it indicated Dr. Randy Short and Chairman Freed. Unfortunately, they were on last night. I don't believe they're going to be coming on tonight, so we apologize for resending that out again for tonight. That was not supposed to be included in tonight's broadcast. But definitely, there's a good possibility that Dr. Randy Shirt will be calling in, because he tends to do that nevertheless, even when he's not actually scheduled. The other thing we want to bring to your attention before we get ready to open up our lines is October 25th. We will be at the Justice Department. Now, that, of course, is the actual day to do the observance of the Million Woman March. It is the actual day of the 16th year anniversary. And this year, as a part of our 16-year observance and the launching of our international, national and international direct action plan and blueprint for power, prosperity, and peace, we want to do something in the form of work, in the form of showing what we're about, what we are moving forward in doing, the type of direction that we're now going into. And so rather than just to have celebration or celebratory kinds of things, which we will do because we're going to do the Million Women March Week here in Philadelphia from October the 27th through November the 3rd, and that too will entail workshops and strategy sessions and things of that nature, you know, and celebration kinds of things as well. But on October 25th, we're going to be at the Justice Department, and at that point, we will be holding the Rally for Justice, and with that, we charge genocide. That's one of the main areas and the main topics that we're going to be focusing on, because this has been done, I believe, in either the 60s or 70s when Elhaj Malik al-Shabazz, of course, issued something declaring genocide. It was also indicated, I don't know exactly what was filed, but I know it was indicated by Paul Robeson, and certainly with Queen Mother Moore. Well, we want to continue those legacies and also to continue the actual work that is now necessary to take our issues, our concerns into other courts. That is so important in this day and age. I mean, it was always important, but now that, you know, there seems to be some real stuff going on. As you know, last month there was the 50-year observance of the civil rights gathering kind of thing in Washington, D.C., the March on Washington, that's what it was called. And what we noticed is that our people are really looking for something to not only do, but to start doing. And once the decision came about with Trayvon Martin, when Zimmerman was let go and just walked at the murder in that young brother, I mean, for some, it really hit them hard. And as a result, they ended up kind of moving or gravitating to the civil rights thing. And, of course, that is something that is significant and important, and certainly a part of our history that is duly noted. But needless to say, in the 21st century, we need to be talking and doing more than something that's relevant to civil rights. And so, of course, our position for the Million Women Movement is to bring forth not just now the continual concept of self-determination, but also to put in the forefront as well the concern and the demand regarding human rights, because that is an international area of things. And certainly with 50 years plus under our belt of fighting for so-called civil rights, and these cops and stuff are still beating us mercifully, and you know, all these other things are happening, well, needless to say, you know, civil rights, well, yeah, but again, we better start doing some other stuff. Now, with that said, I want to remind all of you, if you haven't heard it yet, the report came out the other day that the Republicans pushed forward cutting folks off of food stamps, You're talking about a couple of million folk to no longer get the little bit of whatever they was getting. Now, of course, some advocates say that, or there's not advocates, activists, or whatever you care to call it, you know, some say, well, you know what, this could be a good thing because it's going to make people do something, and then others are saying, yeah, but do what? Okay, this could be also extremely devastating, especially for folk who either have medical issues or, you know, or whatever. I mean, it could just still be very devastating. So this, too, is something that we'd like to hear from you in terms of what would you like to see happen? I mean, are you for or against the cutting of what's known as food stamps? Do you think this is going to be something that wakes black folks up? Or do you think this is something that is going to further hinder us? So if you have a comment or a question, I certainly would like to hear a comment or a view. I would like to hear about it. You can push one now. And again, in a few minutes, we're going to open the chat room and see what's going on over there as well. Again, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Okay, and we're back, and you are in tune again to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. We're trying to get the chat room open, and unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties. So hopefully we'll be able to straighten that out very shortly. In the meantime, I want to remind you that there's a lot of stuff going on in the international world. I'm sure you have heard recently that yesterday, the day before, they had some happenings going on in Kenya. Now, that is a very interesting thing because just last night when we were talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and Dr. Randy Short, we talked about how the U.S. government tends to set these little scenarios up, such as what you're seeing now in Chicago earlier this week. I think approximately 11 people were shot all at one time, supposed to be at a basketball game, something like that. I think a young child was wounded. And the very interesting thing that we noticed about the reports that were coming out was, of course, you know, that this was so-called black-on-black crime. But also, it was interesting that they put in the very distinctively that the shooters were men with dreadlocks. And the way this was phrased was just, you know, very obvious that they were trying to, you know, create some kind of climate. And so a few days after that, we hear about what's going on in Kenya. And it seemed almost like a similar kind of script whereby the extremist Muslims were holding people hostage and killing them. And they were taking credit for, you know, this display of whatever it was they were doing. And it just seemed very interesting that once again, it sounded as if someone or something was attempting to create a climate. And in this case, the climate would be Africans against Muslims or vice versa. It's just kind of an interesting little spin on some of the stuff that, you know, we tend to see here and elsewhere. But, you know, we ask that our people pay very close attention to some of the things that are happening nationwide as we now see the unfolding with Syria. And the other thing that we talked about last night, too, was, of course, how the president of Brazil raised some concerns with Barack Obama and, of course, the spying thing that they've been doing in many areas of things. And as a result, indicated that, you know, that Obama should apologize to the people for those actions. And then we learned at around the same time that there were some problems with Venezuela. Well, hopefully, we'll be getting with Brother Lee very soon. He's kind of our Venezuela connection, him and Brother Bombozi. We'll probably try to get them on for the next program to talk more about what's going on with that, especially given the fact that Brother Bombozi and the African Awareness Association is in the process of planning the trip, educational trip to Cuba in December. And, of course, you know, these are two allies, meaning both Cuba and Venezuela, that have been very close to African liberation fronts and movements. And so certainly we want to kind of, you know, stay abreast of what's going on with the two of them. At any rate, let's see if our chat room is a little better opening up. We're still having some problems with that. Nope, still haven't been able to open it up yet. Wow, okay, it seems that we are having also some problems with our boards, which means, family, we're not going to be able to get our calls in tonight either. It seems that we're having some difficulties with loading up our boards as well. So, let's see, how shall we proceed with that? That's a major problem. Well, okay, we'll just try to give you a few more announcements in the meantime. Hopefully we can clear this up for you. We want to remind you that on Saturday, next Saturday, I will be over at the Sunkai City Cultural Center from 2 to 3:30. We're going to show the film Four Little Girls, and of course the four little girls are the young sisters who were murdered on September the 15th, 1963, in Birmingham, Alabama, as a result of dynamite being placed at the 16th Street Baptist Church. We're going to show the documentary on that and then have a discussion afterwards and raise the issue with what is it that our sisters, our women, can do to continue the legacy and continue to uphold the honor of, you know, martyrs such as these four little girls and others We want to hear from our women as to what types of things they're doing today and we need to be doing as well. And then, of course, we'll hear from our entire community in terms of, you know, now that there seems to be a lot of sophistication going on with the attacks that are on us as a people, again, how should we now respond? Whereas in 1963, the bombing was, like, real obvious right in your face. Well, okay, what type of attacks are we going through now? Are they as obvious? Well, some say no, they're not, you know, right in your face, but certainly they are as dangerous and as destructive. So, again, next Saturday, we will be at the Songhai City Cultural Center, and, of course, that's at 3117 Master Street here in Philadelphia. The donation is $5. And, again, there will be some natural foods available. And, again, a powerful documentary along with dialogue. Okay, I see that we have one person that we are able to connect to that may have a comment or a view to share with us tonight. So we're going to try, and we're still trying to open up the chat room. We're going to try to create some dialogue in the meantime. Caller, you're at 9358. Do you have a question or something you care to share with us this evening? 9358?
Yes. Yes, good evening.
Yes, greetings.
Can you hear me?
I sure
yes,
can.
Yes, greetings. And thank you for taking my call. It's a very interesting topic we got. I wanted to comment on the rape and murder of the young little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's a subject that we need more dialogue on throughout our communities all year round, because I think it's a cultural disease we have amongst ourselves. And because the way this system has us going,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they got us doing, it promotes that type of behavior amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think we're family toward one another and to each other's families for over 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just don't look at what we're doing. And all this buying and selling that we do on a regular mm-hmm. basis is promoting it even further and further. Disrespect toward one another. We have no feelings toward one another. Our behavior, our character and conduct is on our lower side. And I think this system won't allow you to be on your higher side. It doesn't allow
mm-hmm.
us to uplift ourselves the way we
mm-hmm.
supposed to be. Because every time we try to dialogue on relationships and family structure and all that, it seems like, you know, everybody jumps up and you're not supposed to, you know, they'll turn it into an argument instead of keep it into
mm-hmm.
a dialogue bait, and we lose a lot of the power that we can get out of the dialogue. We are
mm-hmm.
in bad shape. We're in bad shape, and
mm-hmm.
because of the way the system won't allow us to uplift ourselves, and the only thing we got left to do is to copycat off of what's coming out from the system. We taking it hook, line, and sinker, and now we begin to act like them, because we are still the greatest people on the face of the earth, especially our females.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the character and conduct of the females and look at the character and conduct of the males and what we're doing, this is going to get worse unless we have serious dialogue about
mm-hmm.
relations. And especially who we are. If we knew who we were, we would be mimicking that instead of following someone else that don't have, you know, someone else who really don't want us to open up. They keep our chakras shut down. They don't want us to learn nothing about ourselves. And so we have to, you know, we just run around and copycat. And I think we just need more dialogue on it, because it's like we already done demonstrated that we're lost. We're gone. Especially with, you know, with the, yeah, especially with the men. Female, you know, listening to somebody else telling us what we're supposed to be doing. And we've been mimicking them for years now, and now we have become like them. And I don't know, you know, I don't know any father, uncle, nephew, male cousin who wants their female family members out there showing off and running around dressed the way some of our females dress. It's like the females are totally separated from the males, and the males are totally separated from the females, and we just surviving off of one another instead of learning to grow together the way we are supposed to be doing. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we got. We, you know, Willie Lynch is alive and well. It separates us from each other and makes us estranged from our creator too, because we're not doing anything like we supposed to be doing. So we done picked up bad habits, and we can't dialogue so that we can make commitments, new commitments amongst ourselves, because we know, we all know right from wrong, and we know what we're doing wrong, and we just can't get to no dialogue where we can put a finger on it and maybe have a just like your organization, you know, the Million Women March organization. You keeping that alive with the dialogue and the knowledge that you bring and put out, and we need more of that when it comes to family and relationships and human interaction. That's basically what it all is. Our human interaction is gone, and we just copycatting right now. And I think, you know, and until we can get together so we can participate in this country correctly, it's going to be a lot of this, and we just need more dialogue on it. I mean sincere and honest dialogue, because this topic is very, very important and very touchy. You got to be careful of how you bring it out. But people, all they're going to do is get angry, you know, they're going to start at each other, and then the dialogue is lost. But, I love all my sisters, and I don't care what they do or what they have done. I still look at them as if they're straight out of God's court, and I know they can do better. But it's not really you know, it's not really our sisters and brothers. It's the system that won't allow us to be who we really are.
And I totally agree. But here is, I think, kind of a dilemma, and it's this. On one hand, we're saying that we are the greatest people. Then on the other hand, it's being said that the system is doing this to us, doing that. And don't get me wrong, you're absolutely correct. But the challenge that I think I have, and I think others do as well, is we can't have it both ways, meaning we're either the greatest people on the planet or we're not. And if we are, then that in itself says that we must overcome mm-hmm. all of this stuff. So it's one thing or the other. It's either we're the greatest people, which means no other people has the right or capability of continuously suppressing us, continuously oppressing us. So it has to be one or the other. And this is where I think we are also kind of going awry, in that we will not accept, many of us will not accept that we are, in fact, the greatest people, the first people, the original people. And in that gives us a certain advantage. So, I think we're reaching a point where the line is being drawn in the sand. We're either going to be the greatest people, or
mm-hmm.
we'll be the greatest people enslaved.
I think it's that big denial thing we got. We denying everything about ourselves.
Wow. But, and see, I mean, I hear you in terms of masters. Oh, you know what? You're breaking up. I'm losing you. I don't want to lose you,
yeah,
but you're starting to break
up. Yeah, I'm trying to move. I think if and use reconciliation, we can sit down and have a very good, strong dialogue and a resolution that can come out of it. But we have to admit our faults. And that's something, because we've been pretending ever since we've been in slavery. I mean, at first, you know, because we still had a lot of lineage and heritage intact.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I can sit
here. I can hear you now.
Okay. And that's what got me where I'm at. That's what made me change myself.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my faults. I looked at my faults and I prayed to the Creator to help me understand them. And that's how I found out about reconciliation. And that's what we got to that's the formula I use to correct myself, my
mm-hmm.
character and conduct. It made me a better person. And then I started noticing, I said, everything we got going bad against us is because mm-hmm. we in denial of it. So
mm-hmm.
there's a process we need to use, because it's right out of the Bible. I mean, if you got faults, you supposed to ask for forgiveness and then don't do them no more. But we won't even look at our faults and say, oh, well, oh, no, that's not me. I'm not doing it. Oh, yes, we all are doing it. We are all doing mm-hmm. it one way, shape or another. And so we won't use the process that our forefathers left here for us to get ourselves out of these quagmires. But the main thing, we got to admit, we messed up, and we are messed up now. And the family structure is gone.
Some are under
the
idea, or some are saying that, because, you know, we have a lot of different schools of thought, and some have said that what you're saying is true and correct, as many have said, but the other part that goes with that is, if we do not do this, because time is kind of at the essence, we're starting to see how nature is changing a lot, times when you think it's going to be warm, it's cold, and vice versa. So
mm-hmm.
there's obviously some changes that are occurring within the universe, within nature, that are very visible. And with that said, there are some schools of thought that are saying, if we do not begin to do some of the things that you are saying and others are saying, that it's going to be truly a situation that is going to be very, very difficult, and that puts it mildly. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're right on point. That's exactly what's going on. We need to face up to it. But it's going to, you know, we have to have a like we need symposiums and meetings with that type of, with this type of agenda, because this type of a topic never comes up in any of our meetings or symposiums and all those things.
Right.
They never want to talk about it. And that's why we can't get to the bottom of it. It's like, the people that's up there that can call these meetings are
afraid
to handle something like that. And so it doesn't come out. It doesn't hit the paper. It doesn't hit the community. We just we're still in on the SOS same old stuff mode. And long as we can do it and get away with it, that's our lives. That's the way we do it. It's like I said, it's character and conduct building and human interaction.
Right.
We need to know what it is to be a human being made by God as opposed to just a human being. Because right now they got us acting like human beings, but we don't have the spirituality that's built in us to control our lower side.
Right.
And then the system destroyed the family structure, which was one of the worst things that happened to us. When they kept separating the husband and wife and the children during slavery, that broke our family structure down and made us dependent on them, which once we became dependent on them, they was able to run institutional racism on us through through the school board, the penal system, and I mean the church, everything. We got to go to them for everything. And as long as we going to them for things that we should be doing ourselves, institutional racism is going to be alive and well, and we will never be able to have meetings on real topics that we need to be talking about, because like you say, we are running out of time. Because we're running out of time because we're in the solar belt mode of the planet. And that means everything is in the light now. That's why everything that was done in the dark is being caught in the light now. And so you have to stay on your higher side. Because if you use your lower side, you're definitely going to get caught because it's changing. Like you said, the Mother Nature is telling us it's over. That lunar path that we was on in the dark, the moon path that the earth was rolling on is over. And now we're in the solar path, so you have to use your higher side in order to go to the next level. So the people that never wake up are going to be ones who die on the wayside because they don't understand, they won't admit, they won't reconcile nothing. And they're going to be using their lower side and they're going to be casualties to this Armageddon that they're trying to push on us here in this country.
Brother, it's very interesting because, see, needless to say, this dialogue or something similar to this, of course, had been said for many years. I think the difference now is that we can really look at certain periods in time now. For example, on June, I believe it was June 22nd, somewhere between June 21st, 22nd, which, of course, was the solar, the summer solstice coming in. Well, it just so happened that right at that same time, that was the closest that the moon had been to the earth in many years. At that same time, meaning the moon has been close to the earth before, but not at the same time of the solstice coming in. See, so we know specifically that there are some things that's happening right now that had not happened for thousands of years. So many have had a discussion about different things happening or what we need to do, the difference now is that we can literally look at specific periods or specific occurrences and connect those with what we're talking about, and it just changes the whole scenario.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But you're right on point. You're right on point. But let's go back for 1 minute. I'd like to ask you, brother, as a man, now this report that we got with this little girl, 6 years old, being raped, being murdered in Louisiana, I don't know if you heard me say earlier the other part of that story is, one, this dude's brother knew that he had done this and didn't report it. And the other part of the story is that the person that did it said that he did it because this six-year-old seduced him. Now, as a mayor, I'd like to hear you respond to that.
Well, that's Poppy. That's Poppy stuff. You know, he said that to try to justify his bad actions, and you could see right through it. You know, it's no way in the world a six-year-old got that type of mindset to do stuff like that.
And
then far as the brother who knew about it and kept it a secret too, that's what I mean about the family structure is gone. It's gone. There's no morality in the family. Matter of fact, there is no family structure. And the family structure is the key to the whole system here. Family, that's what every law and everything we got today is built off the family structure. The White House is a megacosm of the household, because, you know, and it's gone. We got too many distractions from this system, too many miseducation systems going on. They lying at every twist and turn, which keeps our spirituality shut off. And then we start acting in our lower self. Because I couldn't believe it. That's what made That's what made me call. I said, I couldn't believe what I was reading, that a man raped and killed a six-year-old. I said, oh my goodness, this got to stop. This is not being human.
See,
because that's what the system wants to do, make us like them. Now, remember, they came out the caves and they was eating up their own kids and all that. And that's where we're headed if we stay behind them and don't get ourselves together. Because as long as we in denial, it's going to get worse and worse until we get tired of being tired. And I mean for real, for real. But it's going to be a lot to die on the wayside, because we got a lot of enemies in our own ranks that keeps our spirituality shut down. They're afraid. The clergy should be talking about this every day, but they don't even talk about it. I mean, they're the ones that got
some
the
of them. That's because some
that's
of them
right.
are pedophiles.
And they working for the oppressor in order to keep what they got. A lot of people that's well-to-do got allegiance to the oppressor more than he has to the race, our race. And you can tell because it's a big, it's a big separation in our ranks. And and they'll do anything to keep us shut down so that the family structure can never come back together the way it's supposed to. The way the Creator told us it was supposed to work. And so we're going to have these type of crises in our ranks until we can get the right process that will at least start a dialogue. I don't know the full solution, but I know if we all confess our sins, a whole lot will open up and come off. You don't have to actually say what you did or you would. You could just say, I was a part of that. I was stupid at one time. I did dumb stuff. And you don't even have to say what you did. But what you need to say is that I'm sorry for what I did. And I ask God for forgiveness for what I did. And I'm going to give forgiveness to the things that I did to people, and that will open up a dialogue like never before, and we'll be able to talk about these things without pointing fingers, but we will come up with a commitment amongst ourselves, being sincere and honest in the dialogue about a particular subject, and we can come up with a solution. Because if we admit that we on the plantation, if we admit that things aren't right for us because of what we doing, we can get the solution. The solution will pop right out of that confession without even saying what you did. And see, we don't talk like that anymore. We don't have meetings on all the meetings we go to. The agenda is always surrounded to keep the oppressor in charge. It's
That's
never
right.
a meeting right. about what we can do amongst ourselves. Our
mm-hmm.
ranks are shot, and so
mm-hmm.
many enemies in our ranks today.
That's
but,
right.
I'm glad we're talking about it now. That means that it's going to be more to come, because now
Absolutely.
It is on the table. Yes.
Absolutely.
This is a spiritual war. Yes. We're in a spiritual, psychological war. And the only way you can beat that, you have to beat it spiritual. So you have to be on your higher side and be sincere and honest. And they will really see who their God is and how merciful he is, and do what he tells you to do, because we all are connected to him. He tells us what we're supposed to be doing. As soon as we start thinking wrong, he contacts us. And they got us thinking that it's our conscience. It's not. That's our spirituality working on the inside of us. I'm glad that the oppressor can't get on the inside of us, because he would have changed that too. But on the outside, he got us. And he got us acting like him. But on the inside, it's still correctly functioning. That's why we get mad at one another. And like, somebody can hit the number and get a car and stuff. And right off the bat, people, I can't stand that son of a gun. That's because they are mad at themselves on the inside. Anytime
right.
you can't see somebody in your race make it, And you got well wishes for them, that
right.
shows
right.
that we are inside spiritually dead. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the inside is working correctly because it tells you that you doing stuff wrong, and that's when you get attitudes at yourself, and then you act it out in a physical form against your brothers and sisters in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's running. And if we can just get down to some dialogues where we can bring all these powers out and these processes and principles and procedures that our forefathers left for us, we can make it out of this. We can definitely make it out of this, but we have to use the things that money can't buy. And that's the
right.
And it's all on the inside. Because the females in my book is the matriarch of the planet, because wouldn't
That's
none
right.
of us male chauvinist pigs be here if it wasn't for the female? And after I studied it, I said, well, golly, look what they did to our females. And then
right.
I read
right.
things where the oppressor said, well, if you want to control the men, go get the female. And that's exactly
right.
how he did it. And so because we're inseparable, when the female falls, we fall. Or if we fall, she falls. And we have to understand those principles that are being used on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start turning on our powers from the inside. I happen to know a process that will introduce you to yourself from the inside.
Please share that.
Well, I can't give it to you all on the night, because it's not vast.
Okay.
It's very simple, but you already know it. It's your moral abilities to know right from wrong. That's your higher self and your lower self. The system taught us that that it's a devil down here, but no one never seen him. But the actions of the devil is down here. That's because that's our lower side. We are the devil when we don't pay attention to our higher side and we act out stupid stuff and mimic the oppressor who's making our lives so difficult that it's nothing we can do. I mean, you can't save money. You can't send your kids to school. You can't live in nice neighborhoods. It's just bad, bad, bad all the way around. So we start acting bad. And we done lost our higher side. And we don't understand it anymore. We don't even believe in it anymore. Because
wow.
Our churches, you see, the inside is powerful and it's still working correctly the way our Creator made us when he first made us. And when we lost our way on the outside, that's when everything started falling down. But we're still working the way we supposed to. That's why we get angry for nothing. Because we either jealous or we hate or we envy or we... You know, the seven deadly sins starts all this chaos that we got in the streets today. And because we don't understand none of the principles and process of this, which is really Mahatma Gandhi, the nonviolent movement, you need to get that because it takes every ounce of your higher side in order to fulfill the nonviolent process, because you cannot use your lower self. So you have to understand certain principles that your Creator used when He made you. For instance, we are all scientists. When you look at the word science, science answers the what, when, where, why, and how of anything you touch, talk about, or work on. Just like when you come home from work, Filet, and the children are in the house, and a lamp is broke, what's the first thing you do? You get up and you ask, what happened? What? See, you ask what? When? How? And then you'll make a spiritual, rational analysis, and you can pretty well come up to who did it. And that's the natural you coming out. But all our other endeavors on this planet, we're not allowed to use our scientific self.
What about the natural order and the natural law of self-defense?
They don't understand it. It's lost. It has to be reintroduced to them. And the nonviolent principles that Mahatma Gandhi used, and Martin Luther King now, because he was a practitioner too. And that's why when King first started out, he was for poor men's the Poor People's Campaign, and he didn't turn to a nonviolent movement until after he learned it. But it's in your Bible. But because we don't understand a lot of things, we read right over it and don't even pertain it to ourselves as human beings, and so we don't understand it. But we do use it. We do use it, but we don't know that it's our inside natural self coming out. Let's say a friend of ours, Filet, house burnt down tonight, and two of her children got killed in the fire, and I called you up and told you about our friend that had that terrible, tragic accident. What's the first thing you say to me on the phone? You're going to say, what? When? How? See, that's the natural scientific self coming out. Those are the natural, rational, just questions that you are supposed to ask in order to find out about the tragedy of our friend. And that is what is shut down in us because of what the system is doing with the lying and the miseducation and all the other levels of wrongdoing that they are, that, you know, that they're teaching us. They only let us be wrong. They won't. If you want to be righteous today, you got to be like them 12 apostles that was around Jesus, because them boys were the baddest dudes that was in the neighborhood. They were bad fighters. They were some good fighters, because when they caught Jesus in that courtyard and the men was getting ready to take Jesus, them boys pulled out their swords and cut them guys' ear off, and Jesus said, hold it. Nope, we're not going to do this now violently. And he picked up the ear and put it back on that guard, and Jesus allowed himself to be taken in, because that's what he wanted to be taken in, so he can teach the powers that be how to be a real human being made by God.
You know that some of these fables or stories are duplications of other stories.
Okay.
You are aware of that, I'm sure.
Oh yes,
and
oh yes.
That,
I can.
And that there is no J in the ancient languages. So technically, we're really, you know, talking more in a mythological kind of way, which is okay, because stories are, you know, oftentimes put in a context where one can get the lessons from, you know, just stories. But see, I always have to make those things clear, because in this day and age, you know, I cannot perpetuate stuff that I know is not real. And so it's not that the lesson is a good lesson, but again, we have to put that in the context of it being, you know, a lesson, as opposed to, you know, a lot of people are now less under the impression of it being a historical significance or a historical reality, and of course, much of that has never been proven. So nowadays we learn to deal with the symbolicness of some of these things.
Well, that's why I use my thoughts, because, you know, your wrongdoings is you can't change them, and they stick out very well. You know, all our faults, and that's what you need to examine, because And you do need to understand a few things about yourself, like the way we are made spiritually. And now, that's never been talked about, because I can't talk to not too many people about it, but we are made spiritually first, because our Creator had us in His mind. He thought of us spiritually, and that's when He designed and made the whole human being. And then he made because of the balance, we had a higher side, which was spiritual, and then we got a lower side, which is the devil side of us, and then we have a mental capacity and an emotional capacity, and then we were made physical. So all that is in us: spiritual, lower self, mental, emotional, and then we're physical. And once you understand that principle, the other doors will start opening up, and you'll start seeing what we're doing, because we're ignoring the spiritual phone call that we get from the Creator. As soon as we think wrong, He calls us. You know, like, I'll give you a good example. I was a young boy at one time, and when my sisters and them would come over, they would leave money in their coat pockets. Well, while they was in the kitchen having fun, I would sneak in the back room and go through their pockets and take the money. Now, soon as I think about
you're breaking up.
Do is wrong. Well, okay, let me see. How's this? This is a little better?
Okay. Yeah, that's better. Uh-huh.
Yeah, when I was going to steal that money, the Lord contacted me and said, now, you know, what you're getting ready to do is not right. And when He contacted me, because I didn't understand who I was then, I ignored him spiritually. And then I fell into my lower self, which was the devil side of me. And then my mental capacity went off the chart because I didn't listen to the Creator, and my emotions got the best of me, and I wanted that money. And then I acted out physically and went in there and stole that money. But before I stole that money, when the Creator contacted me the first time, what he told me made me look around to see if anybody was looking at me when I was doing it. Because I knew right from wrong, because he called me up and told me. So that inside self works correctly. It works. Every time you do something wrong, he contacts you. But when you ignore the spiritual call, you fall into your lower self. Your mental capacity is not on its higher self. And you ever see people commit crime and it's a crime of passion? See, that's emotions. See, that's emotion. And their mental capacity wasn't even working. Because you don't sit up there and hurt somebody because your passions are going crazy. But your mental capacity is offline too. And it all started because you didn't listen to your spiritual phone. Like, we got a cell phone right in the middle of our chest. And the Creator speaks to us all the time. He never left us. He never leaves you. We got all kind of books saying that, he walks with you. Yes, he does. He walks with you even when you do something bad. That's how merciful he is, because he knows all roads lead back to him anyway. So he'll give it to you, but you will weather the consequences of it, because that's your reward for taking the wrong road. He doesn't punish. He gives you a reward.
Now, you know, at some point, we're going to have someone on to also bring in the other kind of approach to some of that. Because, as you well know, there are definitely some oppositions to a lot of what you just said, including, of course, that, say, for example, for some, you know, they don't hear that voice. It's not there, okay?
That's
also,
right.
The whole idea of doing something that you aren't supposed to do, well, the question, of course, if you weren't supposed to do it, then why would a Creator or whatever you kind of call it, why would they even... obviously, it must have been something that was allowed or that was wanted to be done, because you wouldn't did it. There's kind of a lot that goes with all of what you just said in terms of some other kind of insight into that.
I hear what you're saying, and that's a very good question. But see, that's the part that you have to understand about the self. Because of who we are in relationship to the Creator, this is why he allows it. Now, you know he gave us choice. Choice is right from wrong.
Also. That's debatable.
Well, yeah, okay. Okay, but the way
And I'm just saying that there's so many different schools of thought. And as you know, to say that one thing is absolute, that kind of gets a little... I don't know. You know, that leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, there are some things, of course, that would appear to be absolute. But in terms of what one believes or what one knows, you can't really put absolutes on a lot of those things, because there are many paths. So to say that you're given choice, well, that's a debatable statement.
Well, you're correct, and that shows that if you know what I know about certain principles, then we can get into a very good dialogue on it. But see, because we don't understand a lot of things, yes, we're in doubt because we haven't put it into our thought processes yet, you know, our brains or our so-called brains. But see, we don't have brains. We got spiritual thought processes. Because your brain processes thought, and thought is always on a higher side. But that's why I need a classroom setting in order to explain this nonviolent principles that Muhammad Gandhi and Martin Luther King was using. That's why they had to do away with them guys. Now, they didn't kill Muhammad Gandhi, but he did kick the British out of his land nonviolently. And King was transforming America nonviolently. And so they had to do away with him because they could not stop that type of spiritual power.
And that's why they did if they killed him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, they killed him physically, but spiritually, he's still alive. Spiritually, his dream is still rolling. He's still here. But physically, yes, he's gone. So the spiritual side of you is more stronger than the physical side. Because without the spirituality, you don't function. You don't function correctly. You don't think correctly. But
However, I think there's some things, as you indicated, there are at least three levels, the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. So one thing does not necessarily operate directly as the other. In other words, when you are doing something physical, then the attributes to that is lending more to the physical. Same thing with the mental and the spiritual. So essentially, there are some operations that are specifically, you know, geared to that operation. So if
yes.
you're saying a nonviolent approach placed in the physical form, although it's connected to the spiritual, the fact would still remain if King is removed physically, then that segment of that operation is affected.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And thank goodness that we got the spirituality and the mental capacity to remember and the emotional part is like, all you got to do is say MLK, and that raises your emotions because everybody know about it. I mean, we all love that man. I mean, my emotions run hot every day when I talk about King and the good works that he did. And so that builds my emotions up high. But what I want to touch on is this spirituality side. See, spirituality, well, everything, there's two sides to everything down here. Your mental capacity could be good or bad. Emotions could be good or bad. And spirituality has a good and bad. That's the balance. That's called Maya. That's the Maya. That's the balance. Like you said earlier, there's going to be some people that don't agree with me, which is beautiful because you always have that.
I want you to hold that point right there because someone has just kind of chimed in and I think they would like to join the dialogue. So we're going to bring someone else in, and you're at 1613. I think our boards are going to let you in. I'm trying. Hopefully. Okay,
hope
I think we got
in.
You. 1613, do you have a comment or a point of view you'd like to share?
Excuse me. Hold up, Sammy. Hold up, Empress. I didn't get the brother's name.
Brother Phil.
Okay. Brother Phil, hold up. Appreciating a lot of what you're sharing and comprehending of it, man. And also, you know, very, very thankful that Sister Filet is also, you know, putting another side to it. But I had to call in and chime in about about Gandhi, about Mahatma Gandhi. And the fact is, a lot of us do see him as a man of peace, when in fact, in terms of African people, he fought in the wars against the Herero people of South Africa, who with the Dutch, with the Boers. And so, you know, a lot of us think of Gandhi as a man of peace, when actually he was a man of war also. And, I'm very clear that a lot of us have, you know, we live our lives in contradiction, but I think that in terms of the African story, there's a lot of information that, you know, a lot of us don't have. And that is one of them that, in terms of African people, in terms of my African ancestors, I don't see Gandhi as a man of peace. He was about peace in terms of his approach towards the British, but he was not a man of peace towards African people. And he did not see African people as equal to him. He was very Indian-centered, and I don't have a problem with that. But when we talk about his story, when we talk about who he was as a person, as a human, he was not as accepting and did not see African people as his equal. And so I just wanted to put that out there, because we always, every time I hear about Mahatma Gandhi and peace.
Yes.
No, he was not a man of peace towards African people. So I just wanted to, you know, share that and add that to the conversation.
Well, that's very good.
Definitely,
because
I appreciate that.
Yes, I do too, Sister Filet, because, see, that shows that, I almost lost that train of thought. See, you got a right to protect yourself, and you got a right to your opinions. Now, yes, he was a warrior. He probably was a good one, too. But we were talking about the principles of the nonviolent movement, not so much Muhammad Gandhi. Just like Martin Luther King used the same principles. Now, just because Muhammad Gandhi did some lower things, okay, that's on the table. But the principle is sound. The nonviolent principle is sound because it works off your higher side, period. You cannot use your lower side. And that's why I use Muhammad Gandhi and Martin Luther King in the same room, because King used the principle, even though the American people didn't realize what he was doing. But he was bringing out the higher side of everybody, blacks and whites, but mainly the blacks. That principle works, and it still works for me to this day. It allowed me to see and open up a lot of things. I can read people. I can read. You can walk down the street and I can read you because of your manner, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk. I can tell if you're on your higher side, your lower side, or if you're mixed up, you know, whether to leave you alone or stay away from you, because you probably don't understand everything about the self, and you not in full control of your faculties that the Creator put in you when he made you. And it kept me alive. It kept me alive out here. I mean,
let me ask you a question, if I may. And
yes.
Remember, and I can appreciate, and I do appreciate your experiences. However, keeping in mind that we as a people travel various roads and have individuals, some may not want to, you know, deal with this reality, but have individual missions. Now, with that said, some things happen by way of maturing. In other words, one's comprehension can oftentimes occur based on experiences, not necessarily the practice of any ideology per se, but based on experiences. You know, good, bad,
That's
and
correct.
Indifferent. So where
That's right.
for you to apply a tactic or a principle or principles that, you were able to harness based on Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King, that worked for you. However, mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that that same application is going to work for someone else. But at the same time, they could still reach what is known as enlightenment based on their path and journey. So I'm saying that to say that it's not necessarily any one thing or one type of application that allows us to reach whatever level of comprehension. Some do and some don't, regardless
That's right.
of, you know, what they embrace or what they experience. Some do and some don't. So I'm saying That's that to say, again, I always think and try to tell people be very careful about these absolutes, you see.
Yes.
Because always remember, while we agree for the sake of conversation and communication, we deal with right, wrong, good, bad, up, down. However, anyone that understands chaos, and I don't mean that necessarily in the bad context, chaos is from where a lot of things come. So obviously it can't be but so bad all the time.
It's funny you use that word chaos, because that's what I was when I was still in the dark. I was just like them fools in the street. And
but you do realize that's one realm of chaos that you're referring to. You do understand that there's a realm of chaos that's totally positive.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to get to. My chaos, I used to just fight a lot, you know. I'm from the gang war era, so fighting was kind of like in my system. And I used to ask him, why did he give me that paper route? Why did I have to fight? So I thought I had a hard paper route, but he had me in class. He had me in class so that I can learn about violence. And at the same time, he was using me to teach somebody else that they should have mind their business or either not got into that business that got their butt whipped by me. It was like a two-prong learning system. I learned about beating up on people. I shouldn't have been doing that dumb stuff. But at the same time, the people that I beat up on really needed it at that time, and they learned something. They learned something too from it. And it was sort of like he was using me to instruct somebody else that what they was doing was not quite right in his eyes. So he used me to straighten them out. And I didn't even know what their problem was. I know they got on my nerve, and maybe I jumped up and did what I did. But at the same time, people that saw me do what I did said, yeah, well, that person needed it. That person was a pain in the neck in the neighborhood. And this guy came out of nowhere and whooped his tail, and we ain't had no more problem out of him since. So at the same time, he learned, and at the same time, I learned, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I used to fight so much. What made me wake up to it was I was beating up on family members because I didn't know they were my cousins. And that's when I said, man, look, I'm going to stop all this fighting. I'm up here beating up my own family members. So that's when I started really talking to him, and he woke me up and said, well, yeah, I needed you to learn the bottom of the barrel so that you can teach people about the bottom. And at the same time, the people that I ran into at the bottom of the barrel needed their butt whipped because he wanted to teach them something else. So he used me as one of his tools to, cause I would, you know, like, I'm from old school, so we wasn't about all this killing. We would beat you up, but we would never kill you over nothing. But you know, I asked him about my road to his house. I said, why did I have a rough road? And you should see me now. I'm the most compassionate of a race loving person that you can ever want to meet. I don't care what you do. You can't do nothing on earth that I won't still put my arm around you. I don't care who you is. Because I now know what human beings are. But look at the class he had me in. Man, I used to fight and most of my fights was like I was the good guy fighting, you know, like we might be at the party in the basement and some guys come down there and try to turn the party out. And oh man, he turned me on and we would tear them guys up and kick them out of there. And that's all the further it went. You know, we didn't go into gunfighting and all that stuff. We would beat them up good and throw them out. Now get on out of here next time you come down. And that's the way it kind of was. It was always in self-defense or protecting something. I still don't have a mean spirited. Because my sisters, you know how family is worse on you than your friend. I mean, my family always predisposed me. Everything happened in the house, it was me. But I still love them. I still love them still to this day. And they still mess with me. I know you back there smiling. This is why this process or this principle has to be understood before you can get as deep as I am. But the nonviolent principle is written down on paper. And you can get it and you can go over it. But you won't be able to really get a lot out of it unless someone can explain certain things about you that you don't know about yourself, why you snapped out here or you did this over here. See, I didn't know nothing about myself, and that's when I was wow. But when I started getting on the inside, I started changing. I started waking up. My character and conduct changed. I tried to be like the Christ that was in me, because the Christ is in all of y'all. That's why he talks to you. You is a part of him. And that's what woke me up. It's not funny, but one day when I get you in that class, Filet, you're going to see what I'm talking about. And just like
First of all, you got to know that I hate being called by my first name. You do know that, right?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
I'll remind you.
Well, what name do you go by?
My name is Filet, but I only use first name basis with people that I am very close to.
Well,
like,
I thought
like with
we
you,
were
I
close.
I call you Brother Philip. I call everybody brother or sister or whatever their title is. Because I don't know you that well to call you Philip. I don't feel comfortable with that.
Me and you've been knowing each other for hundreds of years.
No, that ain't true.
I was at the,
that is not true.
I was at the presentation last Saturday at 25th in York.
Okay.
And you
so
were
you
so
said
busy.
That's why we on a first name basis.
No, not just because of Saturday. It's because of dialoguing on your blog
and us meeting each other on the front line. I've always been Sister Filet.
Well,
is that correct?
Well, that's no problem. I will call you from this point forward, whatever. You want me to call you Sister Filet? That's what it'll be from this day.
It's just a matter of
respect. Oh, you're very
welcome.
You're very.
Yes, it's a lot of respect.
That's right.
That's what I do with people that I don't know very well, or you know, I mean, I know you, but I don't know you. So that's what I do with everyone. I call them brother, sister, whatever they want me to call them. But I rarely, unless I know you, I don't call people by their first name.
By the first name, okay. Okay, well,
that's part of my
okay,
upbringing.
That's your Yeah, I know. That's part of your upbringing. I was taught to call you by your first name.
Right.
But I call you Sister Filet because you is my sister.
Oh, no doubt. The Minister Farrakhan is Minister Farrakhan. You wouldn't call him Louis. Would you?
No. I would call him Minister Farrakhan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You get my point now?
I get your point, but sister and brother is nowhere near the height of minister. That's a common reality. We are sisters and brothers, and maybe we should use it more and more. But okay, but I'm in agreement with you because I'm not messing up my front row seat. You know, I'm about respect, Sister Filet.
That's right.
I happen to know who the females are. Y'all the baddest things walking on the face of the earth. Always have been. And so I got to respect
that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I truly do.
You are very welcome because, I mean, I'm telling you, I couldn't be me without you. Well, that's the way it is. That's the balance.
Let's take that and let us add that to. Now, you mentioned something earlier about dialogue, and I just want to say to you that from November, I think it starts on the 3rd. The 8th and the 9th. Here in Philly, there's going to be a dialogue for brothers. It's called For Brothers Only. We tried to do this a couple of years ago, and we could not get more than 25 brothers to come together to have this dialogue about violence and abuse about women and girls. And so I want to extend that invitation to you, brother, because some brothers have asked me to do it now, to call the brothers together so that the men can come together and have this dialogue that they need to have about violence and abuse of women. Because, see, what's happening, we are now starting to see more trafficking of our women, of our girls, rather. See, this is something we didn't have that to the extent that we now have it in our community, trafficking.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, we had some prostitution and some other things, but this thing is going to a totally different level. And if the men do not begin to address it, we're going to look at their daughters too and nieces and little cousins and little sisters caught up.
That's right. I agree with you, Sister Filet, 100%. And I would be more than willing to be a part of the dialogue when you get it set up.
Okay.
Because I love dialogue like that. You know, in a round table type setting, because I'm pretty good at controlling the dialogue so that it won't turn sour. I mean,
I tell you, brother, it's going to be some of the brothers that are participating. You will really enjoy conversing with them, and I trust me, they will not have it going sour either.
Yeah.
We're talking about Alton Maddox, Brother Alton Maddox.
Yeah.
We're talking about the brother that you saw last week, Brother Kwesi. Brother Kwesi.
Oh, yes, right. Yes.
Right. Brother Kwesi. We're talking about Iwalimu Baruti. We're looking at possibly Kamal Cabone. So there's going to be brothers who definitely know their stuff. And it will keep it live and kicking.
Yeah, well, that's very good. That's a spiritual thing in my book. I mean, only the spiritual creator can bring something like that. And he's working right through Sister Filet to bring this about. Because I couldn't have done it. It had to take a higher person to do that. Because, I mean, I've been waiting for these type of dialogues for just about all my life after I woke up. You know, we need it.
Wow.
Wow, oh yeah, I'm gonna be for real.
Okay.
That's what makes it, yeah, because that's what makes it positive when you're sincere and honest. That's the price you got to pay to wake up all your faculties in you. Don't be afraid because you made a mistake or you did something dumb. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody going to take your eyeball out or cut your wrist. Just admit it. You don't even have to admit what you did. Yeah, I was a dummy. You better believe it. And, but why? Well, how come I'm not a dummy now? And that's where you take off at. Because I think I was talking with another sister about the brothers going to jail all the time. And it was on a radio show, and I got real with him. I said, well, what made me stop doing what I was doing? I should have been in jail too. So what made me stop? And that's more, I mean, that conversation took off because I was sincere and honest. And most of our meetings we've been having for the last 50 years were staged. The agenda was cut and dry, and there was no chance for a solution. But I believe in you, Sister Filet, because I've seen your work. I know your work. I've seen and know your work. And you're genuine. That's why we hit it off right. So I'm going to call you, that's my Sister Filet.
All right, yeah. My brother. Well, I certainly have enjoyed having this dialogue with you tonight, and I'm sure those who are listening are sending you back with some food for thought as well. So we're going to get ready to close this segment out, but definitely we will be back next Saturday, and we are preparing, of course, for the Million Women March reunion. This being one of our first kind of initiative that focuses on dealing with social justice issues with a plan in hand, ready to go. So October 25th, we will be at the Justice Department. And I don't know if I mentioned again, Sister Elaine Riddick is scheduled to be with us. That's the sister, for those of you who saw the Ma'afa 21 documentary, she's the sister that is in that. She's the survivor or one of the survivors of being sterilized by force without her knowledge, without her guardian's knowledge. She will be one of the speakers at the Rally for Justice. And we will have her also on the radio program very soon as well, because her story needs to be told. And that's why last night when we had Dr. Randy Short on talking about Depro Provera, we're going to start some hearings here in Philly, because there are sisters. When I talked to Baba Shango the other day, he mentioned that, he knows of some women here in Philly that did take that death row stuff. We got some sisters amongst us who have taken that, and, they need to know, we need to know how to now help and support one another and to keep anyone else from, getting on that. So, again, we will be giving you more information about that next week as well. And we have some other guests coming up. So, Sister Iya, thank you for chiming in and bringing that information about Mahatma Gandhi. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that didn't know about that.
Yeah. I kind of knew, but I did a little study on it, but I was basically rolling over that principle he used to defeat the British.
Right. This is why it's so important, though, that we have all of the pieces, because unfortunately, most people only got that part of it, and as a result, kind of see him in the saint-like kind of mode. So it's kind of important that we, get as much information as possible so that we can put things in the right context. But I think I had heard about that some time ago and had forgotten.
Yeah, so I probably read about it and didn't understand it at the time. Because I wasn't, books wasn't my forte. I kind of got into books later on in my life, but I read my eyeballs right out of my head. I can't even see now. I said, wow,
well,
now that I'm reading, now my eyes go bad. But, I use magnifying glasses and stuff. I get along. Yeah,
see,
it's all about understanding.
As it goes to say what I was saying earlier, once we get a little mature or become more mature, a lot of things oftentimes change and you're able to see things in a different and oftentimes a better perspective. So, that's kind
yes.
of the process. Now, we know that some don't make it to that point. They just kind of grow older chronologically. But there are some who, with age, they become wiser and certainly, more in tune.
Yes, that's correct. You're right.
So
you
like
come
that,
on every night?
You. Well, I did this week, but normally I just come on Saturdays, but there's sometimes that I'll do special editions, and because we're getting ready to do some specific thing for October, we did this week, we did a whole week this week, but I won't be coming back until next Saturday.
Okay.
And
I'm going
to try to have Brother Austin Maddox on for next Saturday.
Okay. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, Austin is dynamite.
Yeah.
Brother Austin loves it. Because they now have a candidate for the Freedom Party. They have the Freedom Party up in New York now. And they have a candidate that they're running for mayor.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that one.
Yes.
But that's good.
Yes. That's why we want to try to get him on so that, he can tell us about that, because we have some things that we may do here in Philly, too, as quiet as this cat. But we're going to be letting some of those cats out the bag very soon, because there needs to be some changes in Philadelphia, to say the least. This thing that we got called leadership in Philly is a joke.
Yeah. Well, politicians, clergy, they've been kicking that. They've been kicking that can down the road for 50 years. And when we went through that march on Washington, that's when it really showed up. Because everybody said, we marched 50 years ago for the same thing.
That's right. That's right.
And what was all these...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it showed them up. What was all these 501c3s doing?
That's right.
Now
Absolutely.
We know. Everybody know.
And ride through the city, brother. Have you noticed the landscaping of Philadelphia now? Never before, at least in our time, did you see all these open spaces like you do in, the suburban areas, shall we say? These open spaces with grass and nothing.
Yes.
All over the city.
Yep. It's something, isn't it? They got a plan, and they're not telling us. And they're not telling us
a
thing.
Oh, they're telling. Look up 2035. Oh, they're telling.
Okay.
Philadelphia has a plan called Philadelphia 2035. And in that plan, it gives you some of it. It's just some of it, but they have to, by law, at least share a little bit of what they get ready to do to not just us, but the whole city, but particularly to us. This is why North Philly has changed the way it has. West Philadelphia also, wherever there's a university, that was one of their major areas. And so while they're just starting to reveal some of what they're working on, they've been working on it for the past 10, 15 years, but now it's to the point where they have to share some of the information with the community, because by law they have got to make it seem like, the community to some extent is involved. So they've been having meetings all over the city to talk about the different things that they're going to be doing, and also, of course, the new zoning changes that are going into effect. Because property values are increasing, which means taxes will increase. And needless to say, older folk who are on fixed income, with their taxes rising.
Mm-hmm. You're right, sister. You are correct. Cause I'm familiar with the movement.
Right. And see, when you do the study on the planning, the city planning commission, I mean,
yes.
it's some wicked stuff they got going on. And it's about it up. So going back to about these politicians, a lot
yes.
of them are in close relationship with these developers, which are 98%
mm-hmm.
white, and they are redeveloping all over the city. And,
mm-hmm.
wow, guess who benefits from all of that?
Not us.
Not us.
Yeah, not us. I know what you mean, because I've been in Philadelphia all my life, and I've seen it. Change and change again. Yeah.
Well,
it's,
the plan is for Philadelphia to become a educational site and a tourist site.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's going to be two of their major industries, so-called higher education and
mm-hmm.
tourism. That's why the convention center has just completed adding stuff on. That's why the Constitution Center, all down and around in there, and then all of the
yeah.
university areas are all going through
yes.
Development. Drexel
yes.
is no
yeah.
longer just in West Philly. Drexel is in North Philly and other parts
mm-hmm.
of the city. Same thing with St. Joe's and Temple is all the way up. Heaven knows where Temple is right about now. But the bottom
yeah.
line is all of them are moving beyond where their main campuses were, and they are expanding tremendously. So, again, I don't know. You know, we talked about this when we first started our dialogue tonight, Brother Philip. People better see the writing on the wall because it's coming.
Yes,
oh, lastly, we forgot to mention about the food stamp cuts.
Isn't that something?
Have you heard about that?
That is unbelievable. Someone said, "Why don't they cut? You know, why don't they cut their pay? If they want to cut our food, cut their pay, and see how long they survive."
Well, what we talked about last night, brother. I don't know if you were able to tune in, but last night when we had Chairman Fred on and Dr. Randy Short, we talked about how in the next couple of years we will find in our community a new drug. Just like they put crack cocaine in, there's going to be a new drug in the black community. And this is what's going to generate revenue in our community, just like crack did. But this drug that they get ready to put out this time, oh, my goodness. They're creating a climate. They're creating a climate where people are going to need money.
Wow.
And they're going to put those drugs out there knowing that people need to make money, and that's how they're going to do it.
Wow. Wow. You're talking about changing the industry. They're going into the legalized drug industry.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Some of it may be legalized, but a large portion of it won't be.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It will be dangerous. It's going to be very dangerous because just like with crack cocaine, we're just starting to get the stats in. In fact, I'll be going to D.C. in another week or so, but the whole idea is to begin to try to get some research done because crack cocaine on our women was the most devastating in our community, because once it went into the woman's system, it had a different bonding effect. And as a result, we now have children. When these women had children, oftentimes there was some kind of connection, you see.
Yeah.
So we know that that crack cocaine on a, from a chemical level, from a biological level, it created a different kind of thing with the women, with the sisters.
And it affected the unborn.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Boy.
See. And so they were able to create tracers. That's what they kind of call it, as tracers. So that was the beginning. Yeah, that was the beginning. So now they kind of got it down pat, see. That was like a first run. But now they see what it was. It's almost like, say, with the bombing of Osage Avenue. See, that had not been done. Something like that had not been done to that extent in many, 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 many years. And particularly not on the East Coast side. So once they dropped that bomb in 85 and they saw that there was no real outcry, they knew they could do it and get away with it.
Yeah, that's right. Man, bro, you waking me up to a lot of things here. That's why I love dialogue. The dialogue is...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-oh, Sean. Okay, there you are.
That's right.
But I lost you there for a minute.
Yeah,
all right, my
brother.
Well, again, I thank you for having this dialogue with us tonight. We were able to get into the chat room for a minute, but now my boards are locked again, and it's okay because we're just about done anyway. But, Brother Sula, I thank you again for calling in and tuning in, and certainly appreciate, you know, your comments and you know, your point of view. It's important that we share, you know, our points of view and the various things that we've learned because, you know, there's a saying in African culture, each one teach one.
That's correct. That is so true. they had the dialogue on how to design the pyramids before they actually did it. They had the dialogue and put it on. So that's that spiritual connection. Our words are spiritual.
I know that's right.
Yes, indeed.
All right, my brother. And I want to also thank Ajua, of course, you can tune in. She has a radio program also that comes on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. And we'll be talking more about that. I don't have that exact information with me right now, but she does also have a radio program. So, you know, we learning how to use this technology for us.
That's good. That's very good.
Absolutely. All right, my brother, give thanks again, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
And I thank you too, Sister Filet.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And being patient, with me, because I'm not a big-time scholar, but I do have a heart.
Yes, you do. And I think a very interesting point of view and some good information too. You know, that's what it's all about, sharing information. Yeah. Folks can go and do the research for themselves. If you know, this is what we tell people. If you hear something that we're talking about that you're not familiar with or that you want to know more about or that you disagree with, we encourage folks, do your research. Go do the research and get more information, and then that way we'll all be better off. So that's what it's about.
Okay, my sister.
That's what it's about. All right, my brother, again, thank you so much, family. We thank all of you for tuning in as well, and we will be back next Saturday, our regular time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, hopefully we'll have Alton Maddox with us. Brother Alton Maddox, I'm going to be working this week to try to get him. Again, they are preparing for the election coming up, because as you all know, Brother Chokwe Lumumba, he did win for mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. So now they're trying to do it again in New York and with the Freedom Party. And that, of course, is the entity that Brother Alton Maddox helped put together. So they're kind of busy, but I'm going to try to grab him this week for our program for Saturday. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed, for lack of a better word. But until next time, we want to again remind all of you that as we move forward, we strive for peace, Hotep. But remember, there can be no real peace unless there is Ma'at, meaning justice. As Brother Alton often says, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace,
no
justice, no peace. All right, my brother. Till next time, much love and respect to all of you as we leave you with the greeting of Ma'at and Hotep for power, prosperity, and peace. Tutana.
Peace.